This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of MyOldManSaid.com and your host. Joining me for a lap of honour for a Villa win, Mr. Chris Bird and Mr. Phil Shaw. Welcome.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Hello.
Very well, very well. I think... Hello.
Hello.
I think the mourning period is over now, so we can celebrate good things in life, like Villa wins.
Think so. Indeed.
Although we did see, obviously, a tribute to the passing of Her Majesty the Queen. Very well done, I thought.
I thought it was really well done. I like the whole lights down thing. We haven't seen that at Villa Park before. It was good.
Yeah, very subtle.
In years gone by, you'd have been thinking, oh no, they're not going to get the lights back on here. But that was the old Villa.
A few people did think it was a power cut, it has to be said.
I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, we will get into the game, the win of the weekend, as well as catching up with the latest Villa news, the 3 points, the media Muppets, and then dissection, autopsy, call it what you may. All well, did you have a good weekend? No
I
queuing
busy,
involved,
busy.
I assume?
None whatsoever, no.
No.
Multiple gigs and then the royal estate funeral.
You were invited, were you? I didn't know you were invited.
You know me, David, front and centre at these sorts of things.
Well, lucky
with all,
you.
With all my military honours.
Was Phil Shaw there with his military honours?
No,
he wasn't.
Either he was or he wasn't.
Ooh. He sent his lookalike.
You're saying he was. Shaw's saying he wasn't. So which one is it?
We're not allowed to say. State business and all that.
Yes, it is. Special Secrets Act and all that.
Enigmas. Yet again, didn't invite me. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I didn't get a plus one, David, to be honest.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm sure they'd have squeezed me in there.
You could have blagged your way in if you wanted to. You've got into far bigger things, haven't you?
That is true.
State funeral's a small fry.
Right, we can talk about some news. I don't think there's been much in the last 10 days, or we could talk about Villa news.
Yeah, let's just talk about Villa today.
Tweet of doom. It's like the chimes of doom. As
yes,
who sang that in the Band-Aid song? Was it Bono? The clanging chimes of doom.
No, he sang "Well Tonight." Thank God it's them in front instead of you. That was him famously belting it out, wasn't it? I don't know.
So who was the? Was it Boy George?
Oh, there's one for Google.
I know who it is. It's just on the top
David's
of my.
He's working his way through the video. Is this the Band-Aid, or is this the Band-Aid remake where it was a load of like...
No, the originale. Anyway, that's one for the listeners to think about while they drive their cars, lie on the beach, flying off to their holidays.
Or just stand in a queue.
Taking their kids to school, or standing in another queue somewhere.
For a Villa dog.
Right, anyway, the tweet of doom, to be more modern, is something that Villa roll out when a player's about to face a long-term injury, and Boubacar Kamara... the two marquee signings are both croc. What are we going to do?
Are we going to call on our player of the season from last season, aren't we? Oh, shit, no, he's gone as well, hasn't he? Fuck.
There's multiple...
I'm hoping it won't be a big one. I'm hoping
multiple
it won't be
levels,
a big one,
isn't there? There's the you've got an international break to absorb a minor injury, but I hope he's back for some of those October games because that's going to be quite defining to our season. If not, then there's that World Cup buffer of 6 weeks. Hopefully, if it's two to three months injury, then he'll be back for the new year. But I'm sure we'll find out more this week.
You'd hope to find out more than just speedy recovery or something like that.
Yeah, they should wait until they have, before they...
Diagnosis.
Yeah, before they have a rough diagnosis, rather than going, oh, you know, speedy return. Because, you know, all that is just creating hysteria. Anyway, he is also withdrawn from the French squad to be replaced by Jordan Veretout.
Nice Villa connection there.
The club have announced that 12,600 people took part in the digital survey on the potential new club's crest. Most of the things what they put out in their website release was things I told them, actually. It's almost verbatimly like they've taken the minutes of that fan consultation group meeting. My bottom line was it should be a green hat approach and forget about all this romanticism and the danger of stasis of sentimentality over round badges, etc. I think there's a job to be done on that lion. If it's to be used, then there's got to improve that lion. And I've written about it in Aston Villa .wtf, which should be out now. So if you're not subscribed to that, do go to www.astonvilla.wtf and subscribe to that. That's basically my dose of no BS news and insights. And this latest one I do speak about the club crest, and there's actually I've got another meeting this week to potentially see some early designs to see what paths they have taken. Meanwhile, our annual cup game against Manchester United has been selected for Sky, and it's on at the strange time of 8 p.m. on a Thursday night. I think it's the penultimate game before the World Cup break, is it not?
Yes, it is. So it will be interesting to see what kind of allocation we get for that. Or what allocation we take for that.
Two games in, 4 days against Manchester United?
Yeah, home and away. Saturday, Thursday, don't we?
Always a pleasure, never a chore. Aston Villa ladies got off to an expected cracking start, playing a team that you'd probably expect. I mean, they've had a bit of a reshuffle, 9 out, 7 in, but still you would expect them, I don't know, top three. And certainly after Villa Women went up 2-0 up and then were pegged back with 3 goals in about, it's about like 8 minutes or so. The other side of the second half, you thought the writing was on the wall, but in a resilience shown, and they ended up winning 4-3, which in front of almost 7,000 was probably as good as it could have been scripted, really.
I think it's probably perfect. It's their biggest result since they've gone sort of full-time pro, you would say. It's like, good to finally take the scalp of one of those bigger, more established clubs in that league.
2 goals from Lioness Rachel Daly, who is a good signing because she's actual proper, like a class player, and she kind of looks it. But more importantly, she used to be play for the women's team that I used to support before it got dissolved. Lincoln City ladies.
She scored a belting goal in front of the whole end. It's a great strike.
Yeah, she used to play, I think it's the season before Lincoln City scandalously turned into Notts County, because Lincoln City were actually pretty good. But anyway, she played for them and then realised, like I did living in Lincoln, that there was only one thing to do, and that's get the fuck out of there and maybe go abroad and discover life. And she did, obviously went to America, played 6 or so years at... Well, she played for a couple of LA teams that have since have dissolved, and before she ended up at Houston Dash for about 6 years. But I think, I mean, she plays left back for England, but playing centre forward for a Villa team that scored a total of 13 goals last season, which it's not going to get you very far. 13 goals in 22 games.
No, we saw the difference already. she linked with Lehman and all the other players last year that just seemed to be individuals. So maybe this could be a season to watch.
Also, the new signing, Darley Scott as well. So that's a positive. That's where Villa should be going. Like, you know, giving away leads and then clawing them back and, you know, leading your opposition into a false sense of security and beating them. Unlike the under-21s who are still... They're still doing the old Villa engine thing, you know, where you go 3-0 up and then somehow the game finishes 3-3.
And you gift teams things.
I mean, normally it's the men's team where they're 2-0 up and they lose 3-2. So it's not that bad. At least they managed to score 3 goals before they decided to let the opposition claw it back. Right, I think it's time for a bit of media muppetry. Right, what's in the Media Muppets trough this week, Mr. Shaw?
Well, this week it's hard to ignore the predictability of the Birmingham Mail's battery hens, because as soon as the VAR check was over on Jacob Ramsey's goal, the switch was flicked on another Frankenstein's monster of a clickbait piece. This one was titled, Aston Villa star Jacob Ramsey makes honest England admission as Gareth Southgate sets challenge. I mean, it's like AI's just making this up.
What is this England admission?
Well, I'm getting to that, you'll see. I mean, you can probably
guess
yourself.
Come on, hurry up.
you can probably guess what his England admission is. He's not playing well enough to get for England. Case closed. It could be a tweet instead
of a piece. Well, he's under-21s, though, isn't he? I thought that was fair enough at this stage. I wouldn't even think about him for England, to be honest.
No.
Not in midfield, and we're not exactly short of world-class options in midfield, are we?
I didn't even know he was playing against Southampton until he scored. Anyway, do continue.
No, well, what makes it bad is in this piece, they link back to their own question to Gareth Southgate on the 17th of March when they beggingly asked him about Ramsey's chances of making a senior squad. In March, Southgate looked a bit surprised and says, well, Jude Bellingham has that spot ahead of Conor Gallagher and Ramsey, which is fair enough. I think everybody would sort of agree with that pecking order. I mean, Bellingham's not even guaranteed a start. He should be, but he's not. But the question's been polished up like lipstick on a pig to tack on the quotes from an interview that Ramsey did with the Express and Star. In the Express and Star...
Stealing their rivals' content, are they?
Yep. In the interview with the Express and Star, Ramsey admits that his own form and Villa's hasn't been good enough to think about a senior call-up, so his focus is just on improving his own performances.
Which is completely fair enough.
Which is a sign of a good pro.
Logical.
But as for the Southgate challenge bit of the headline, it's just not there. There's just no mention of that at all. It's just lost in the ether somewhere. I mean, cynical me would say that Southgate's challenge is to fit another right back into that squad to make it 9 right backs, but we'll see how he does.
Well, I mean, this is always, there's that kind of cheerleadery element just as a reason to get over stories out there, basically. Content, shall I say, they're not stories. You know, whether it's Ezri Konsa, second coming, should be in the England squad when, you know, we wouldn't even think about him being an England squad.
Well, not at the moment.
You know, you need a couple of seasons to actually justify yourself playing consistently. I mean, you could argue Harry Maguire's been playing crap, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, forget about other players. I'm just talking about straight off the bat. You know, these are players that haven't even earned a tag of, let's say, Mr. Consistent at Aston Villa, never mind. Playing for international level in tournaments. I think under 21s is perfect for Ramsey at the moment. There's no kind of qualms. There's no need to rush him. And he still has got a lot to prove.
And his development's going sort of pretty well. Leave him be.
He scored a decent quota of goals last season and really fast-tracked the progress we thought he would make. And he needs to back it up this season just to show it's not just a one-off. And, you know, the Southampton game was a good sign because, you know, he popped up out of nowhere. And that's the kind of midfield contributions you want when it comes to games that aren't really going anywhere. You need men, you know, in the moments to win games. Right, 3 points. I think we spoke about point number one a few episodes ago because they were tracking that the Women's Super League tickets were booming, obviously because of the Euro success of England, and there has been confirmed record ticket sales so far. I mean, I think Villa's, it's about 6,700 is a record, isn't it, for a Villa women's game at home?
I think didn't they have a little bit more for Blues last year? I think they had a little bit more for that. But they've made a big progress compared to what they were getting at Boldmere and Warsaw.
Compare it to their opening game last season when they got 741 fans, mm-hmm. Which is a massive massive increase. I think in the North London derbies, you're looking at, they've sold 45,000 tickets for that one, which is a great achievement.
Brilliant. I mean, them and sort of City, United, I think even sometimes when the Newcastle ladies have been playing, they've been getting really good crowds. It's a case of how do you get the crowds up a little bit and engaged with the Villa ladies team. Obviously, Arsenal are very, very established, aren't they?
Yeah, I think local derbies help, don't they? As you can see from what you just said about the Villa Blues and also in the North London derby, because I think their reverse fixture last year at the Tottenham Stadium, there was 38,000 there. So this is no one-off flash in the pan.
No, it seems to be a bit of a rivalry there, Arsenal, to get the record. Maybe next year Spurs will try and up it again, so it's all good.
Still a long way to go until they get anywhere near Barca, isn't it? Who filled the Nou Camp against Real Madrid last year? I think it was about 90,000 there.
Wow. So this is where your traditional rivalry... that shows you what on a supporter level it's kind of about, isn't it? It's certainly in Villa's men's case, it's not about the football. Anyway, moving on swiftly. Number two, Mr. Griezmann in his second season back. God, this is just ridiculous, isn't it? Second season back at Atletico Madrid on loan from Barcelona. 442 magazine understands that Atletico will be obliged to pay a further 40 million euros transfer fees to Barcelona if the player completes more than 45 minutes in half the games for which he is available, because he's just been coming up on as sub, hasn't he, playing the last bits of games.
Darren Bent, was there not a thing with Darren Bent if he played so many games whenever Lambert came in? Or had he just given up by then? Because when Benteke was there, it was like, oh, why is Bent not starting with him? There was a rumour that Sunderland were due more money if he played more games.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head of cases, because there's been a few of them where players...
Wasn't there talk of Adama Traore had something similar? If he'd have played X number of games, we'd have to give Barcelona more money. I think there was something, wasn't there, that season when we went down?
Because there was no logic, was there? Here you had a player who literally, even though he was completely hit and miss, I mean, I've heard from sources at the club that the manager described him as a headless chicken when on the first day he saw him at training and said, "What's this?" But at the same time, we saw what he could do. And we're talking about a relegated team that was absolutely shocking. And if you're a season ticket holder who's bothering to turn up to see the remaining games, you want something at least. And throwing him on was entertaining, wasn't it?
Yeah,
but they didn't.
Better to be hit and miss rather than miss and miss like the rest of them were.
Yeah. So, but they didn't. So that was when it was a bit suspicious. Like, are they just saving money here because they know they're getting relegated, and so they're obviously going to take a hit because he was injured sometimes, but a lot of the time he wasn't. He was available and. It didn't matter how raw he was, he was somebody who could actually get things going. But anyway, we digress. But the whole meltdown of Barcelona and what they're selling off and the media rights and whatever, and the cat and mouse in this situation just shows you how finances are starting to compromise the game in that respect. Point number three, it's all about... play the youth, isn't it? The youngest player record has been broken in the Premier League, first of all. Arsenal gave a debut to Ethan Nwaneri, is that right?
Close enough.
In their game against Brentford, he became the youngest Premier League player at 15 years old and 181 days. The previous was a 16-year-old and 30 days Harvey Elliott of Liverpool. Well, actually, he was on loan, wasn't he, for Fulham when he came on. But meanwhile, in the moniker of the UK, crazy, basically they're going from their mother's nipple to the football pitch.
Yeah.
Cut the umbilical cord and get them on the pitch.
Yeah. Well, I saw it on the news and I looked up and, it's not very nice, but I thought, this kid's won, maybe something's happened to him or there's a charity game because he is so young looking. And then his first touch, he just crossed the ball into the box and somebody scores.
Who?
He's an assist with his first touch. Christopher Atherton. So he became the youngest senior footballer in the UK when he came on and got an assist for Glenavon in the Irish League Cup. He's aged 13 years and 329 days.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It is ridiculous because his manager was on talking and I played against his manager. He's the same age as me, so it was like soul-destroying.
Oh, what could have been?
How's he built? Is he like early puberty or...?
Slight. This would be the kindest way to say
it. Is he Teddy Rowe size?
Gary Crosby, Teddy Rowe.
He's taller than Teddy. He's taller than Teddy, but he's thinner.
Right, okay. Well, good luck to him. It's a cracking start. Right, before we go on, a big shout out to the My Old Man Said members. Thank you very much for supporting the show. I'll do the shout outs for new members next week. If you become a My Old Man Said member, you get access to ad-free versions of the show, extra podcasts. There's going to be a few coming up once this bloody my internet connection has been fixed. And most of all, you get access to Match Club, which is our 24/7 inner community, which has all kinds of things going on from... we're not allowed to talk about Match Club. I forgot.
That's the rules, David.
The first rule, it's the first two rules. First rule of Match Club is you can't talk about Match Club. Anyway, if you want to more details on becoming a My Old Man Said member, please do go to myoldmansaid.com. Click on the members link for more details there. If you sign up annually, you get 10% off, which is just over a month's free. Thank you very much. Right, the Villa Park action this weekend. Oh, it had something for everyone. It had Villa against a team. We normally beat the hell out of them. We went 2-0 up. Then it looks like the writing was on the wall. Got three goals without a reply. Went 3-2 up. But oh no, there's a new spine within Aston Villa. And they ran out 4-3 winners. I mean, it was extravaganza at Villa Park, which we'd been waiting for.
Box office entertainment. Was that the game you meant to talk about, David?
No, I don't think. No,
and sets the season up nice. What?
And yeah, thank
you. Sets the season up nicely. It's already gone to shit, David.
What are you talking about?
Sorry. I thought we were going to talk about the entertaining game this week.
Oh, if only.
Nobody would be expecting that.
But you want to talk about the 1-0 instead? Is that what we're talking about? Oh, you want to?
Reluctantly.
The one for the purists.
For those who like a game of chess.
It's like cricket, isn't it? It's like Test cricket and 100.
No, Villa Southampton was definitely a shit county championship game on a soggy Wednesday afternoon.
But we're purists. We're purists. So we'd rather be misers and talk about that game than the new wave, the new entertaining wave. Is that what we're saying?
That is what we're saying.
For now, at least this week. If it keeps going the way it's going.
Yeah, if the trend continues, we may have to switch this up or switch it around, should I say.
I don't think we'll have the vocabulary for the exciting game. It's not in the locker.
We can learn, Phil. Sure, we have a World Cup break, 6 weeks to learn positive vocabulary.
Not linguistic liabilities.
We will have 6 weeks to learn. So that's a warning to the Aston Villa men's team. If you don't sort your act out in October, we're switching over. We're transitioning.
Talk about value for money.
Right. Okay. Scratch out the 4-3 entertaining victory over Manchester City. Insert 1-0 win over the Saints. Now, the context of this game was, if we had lost this game, and quite feasible, Saints have beaten us more times than we've beaten them in the Premier League era. They have beaten Chelsea this season. More than capable of beating this Villa team, I would venture. But if we had lost that, that would have been the fifth loss in our seven games. And when we've lost five out of the first seven in the previous three times, that has equated to relegation. So a lot at stake this game.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It was a stop the rot game, wasn't it?
I was thinking, if we get beat here, I think we probably will get relegated again as the statistics bear out, because it would have turned bad and we'd have slumped. So that's why ultimately the result was king here. And that was my intrigue to watch. I wanted to see Villa win this. And I think we're talking either before something for the weekend where I said, a 1-0 would be a great victory because you'd sort out that barren run, the no clean sheet for 11 games or whatever it was, and you'd get that 3 points, which was, that was the prize here. I mean, it's a cliche, but if there's any time we've needed a result, that could potentially turn things around because you're building on that a positive point against Manchester City and another unexpected Villa Park showing against Manchester City. And you've then actually, you have turned the ship around to point in another direction and hopefully you can keep going in that direction.
I hope so. I mean, there's a lot to...
Where are you? On the toilet?
No, I just turned around. There's a lot to be taken from games like that. When you see those great sort of Ferguson sides at United play badly, get the result. We talked about it last year, the year before. You turn defeats into draws, turn draws into wins. And that was the kind of game that really wasn't going anywhere until we scored.
You know, I was reasonably, we'll get into the game, but
I was content with the result.
I was reasonably intrigued by the game. Thought Southampton were very well organised and very tenacious and a little bit feisty, had a little bit of afters now and then.
But every time we got in the final, put the foot in and leave it in, weren't they?
Every time we got in the final third, there was two or three of their players hovering. You know, it reminded me a little bit of the old Jack Charlton's Irish team of the 90s, where they would like hunt in packs and swarm, and it was like complete commitment. I mean, they had nothing going forward. Pretty much the Irish, they would snatch a goal with Robbie Keane, but it was similar here. Southampton didn't have a lot going forward at all, but I thought they were kind of compact and they hunted us down and closed us down very well. So it was, you know, it was a little bit of a chess match, to use that cliche, and we had to be patient in breaking them down. But all this media narrative after it was like the most boring Premier League match ever or whatever. It was like, I'm sorry, but that was one of the better Villa games I've seen in recent years.
I guess have they not paid any attention to Villa in the last
It's like zero
decade.
Attention. I mean, the biggest piss take was that, when they put the prices up between 10 to 40% on season tickets because you're not getting value for what you're actually watching. But, that's another conversation. But in this game, it was all about the result, and that was what you were watching. Could Villa get the result? And ultimately they did. I mean, starting lineup. Another thing, people were like really negative to the starting lineup. And I was thinking, well, I expected Coutinho to come in. Gerrard had telegraphed that in his pre-match by saying he was the best trainer, et cetera, et cetera. The only thing that was missing, it was like whether McGinn would start, but it was kind of unlikely he would throw his captain under the bus so quickly. I mean, he didn't have the greatest games against Manchester City. And to be fair, he was a bit off it in the first half of this game. I mean, the vast improvement in the second half from McGinn and, credit where it's due. But in that first half, I said to somebody, is it me? But every time he passes, it's always misplaced. It always goes to the opposition. But in the second half, there was a vast day and night improvement.
Yeah, it was very, very noticeable, the improvement McGinn in the second half. I mean, when McGinn plays well, Villa generally get a result one way or another.
But were you adversely shocked by the lineup? I didn't quite understand why.
Really, no.
I think people are just any excuse to have a moan, aren't they?
At this point, pretty much you'd say, especially with the Carlos injury and obviously Cash being out, the back four goalkeeper picks itself. The defensive midfield positions pick themselves. It's only really the front three where you might have some variation.
Yeah.
But it's probably 7 or 8 of your 11 that it kind of you're going to go with every week.
I mean, I saw that starting lineup and I thought, yep, whatever.
Yes, so but knowing that we had plenty on the bench that you could bring on and
I mean,
and
I wanted out of curiosity to see Dendonka start, but apart from that, it's as you probably expect.
Yeah, and in terms of shape, he kind of went in a similar way as he said he was going. Was it before Man City? He'd said, I need to be slightly more pragmatic and kind of go back to the way we were when I first came in to a point and grind out results. And they did that. I mean, it wasn't pretty on the eye, but you're not always going to be. What would you rather have? Pretty and lose or functional and get the win?
Yeah, there's levels that people want to complain about things all the time. And where we are, what we needed, you can't complain. It's like we got exactly what we needed.
Not when you've got an opposition with a similar mindset. Southampton were set up to be pragmatic and hit on the break. Now, they didn't offer fuck all going forward, let's be honest, but it wasn't like Villa were all over them. We had our big chance and took it. And sometimes you're going to get a game like that. I think it's just because it's Southampton and they're unfashionable. And you think, well, we battered them last year, but Southampton was stupidly open last year and we just tore them to shreds. And I think that's why Southampton never opened up, even with sort of maybe what 20 minutes to go, quarter of an hour to go. You thought, oh, well, they'll have to go for it here, and they never really did.
No, but at the same time, I thought they were good off the ball and they made it very difficult for us. And I thought they were better and let's say more of a challenge than the likes of Everton and even West Ham, who ended up beating us. I thought this was kind of a tougher game in terms of breaking them down, as you say. But saying that, in the first half, hats off to Konsa. He made two kind of crucial interventions. Mings was immense throughout.
He had a very good game again, didn't he? He's had a couple now. It's back-to-back two really good performances from him.
And Kamara was before he got injured, was having a good shift and was, it was nice to see, like, it almost like seamlessly slips into that centre-back position when Mings is up, and Mings actually can stay up a little bit because he likes to sometimes linger up the top in case the ball comes back. So it gives you that security that you've got, say, rather than like, I don't know, Douglas, no disrespect to Douglas Luiz, but Kamara's more of a centre back, in terms of physique. So when he drops back to cover, you're not that scared of a counter attack or a cross in from one side because you've got a bit of height in there. So that kind of works well. But, Sod's Law, Kamara goes off. It's almost like we have to make a sacrifice for every 3 points we get this season.
Admittedly, you bring Luiz on and within, a couple of minutes, he's missed a sitter and you think, oh, has he not scored from that corner?
Yeah. that's another thing. I mean,
I'll be scoring from that kind of range.
Most boring game ever. Well, we're having players taking shots from the corner. It's that, at least we got one of those in. And it wasn't a bad effort.
Yeah, I love the fact that the media reacted to it, going, oh, he's only just come on and they're booing him already. Like, oh, guys, keep up. Keep up with the narrative, you lazy fuckers.
So Marcel was thinking, oh, no, because people were saying, oh, nice tribute, to the Queen, blah, blah, blah. And the Twitter arseholes that you always get, they go, no, there were people booing in the 70 minutes applause. And it's like, no, they weren't. They were saying, shoot.
in the same way as the England fans go, root. And every other club has someone like that.
Or Bruce Springsteen. Bruce. But, ball came out to Ashley Young. Shoot. Louise got the ball anywhere. Shoot.
Yeah.
Ings, was it from halfway line?
Yes, I mean, where he sliced it, didn't he? But, that would have been an unbelievable goal.
I don't know if it's a Brummie accent or just when you've got a lot of people in unison saying, shoot.
And it sounds monotone.
So that was absolute nonsense, but makes you chuckle. But that's how this horrible kind of social media just spreads misinformation. It's almost like you have to be at the game now to get the true story.
Yeah.
Dendonka, and he came on actually for 24 plus minutes, only had four touches, but you could see the difference. Just a couple of little things. There was like one header.
It's his reading of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, header in midfield, which normally if that went over his head, if he was like, a shorter player or wasn't in that position, then suddenly Southampton are through and causing us problems. But it was almost like extinguished just from where he was and height. But obviously, you got to see more of him, but he was in the right places at the right time. But I'd like to see him start a game just to see what he can do. But obviously, we're going to have to wait now.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell he hasn't played a lot of football this year, but you can tell also that he reads the game well. And I think if Kamara's out for a little while, they're probably going to have to call upon him in that position. So he's going to have to get up to speed pretty quickly. I hope not, because I'd like to see them two play together.
Unfortunately, Chris, he's our next sacrifice for 3 points.
Ah.
So hopefully he starts
the game.
Thank
God we've got a big squad, eh?
Yeah, can we not peg sacrifices? Do I have to start
how many
with the
do
much
we
expensive
need
ones?
For, how many do we need for 40 points? It's gonna.
How many do we need to win the league?
Will we end up being able to field 11 players? That's the problem.
That's where you get lads back off loan. Can you come back just so we can sacrifice you?
Saves on buying goats to sacrifice. So the good news from that performance, you think, well, Konsa and Mings, if they play like that and get back to let's say their better season, then we might not miss Carlos as bad. Well, we don't know what we're missing because we never saw anything from him. We didn't have time. Yeah. So you're just hoping those two play like that. And
I was impressed with Ashley Young again.
Yeah.
With a senior player role, very, very steady on the ball, some really good distribution, as you'd expect from him. And when he gets into the final third...
It's all less kamikaze, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot less crash, bang, wallop. And when he gets into the final third, you actually think he's going to deliver here. As Cash, you don't know if he's going to smash it across the pitch straight out for a throw-in.
Yeah, it's communication as well with Ashley Young. You can see him talking to Bailey. Bailey, it wasn't Bailey's greatest game, but you can tell he brings a better Bailey out. You know, he's like almost like the filter on him to make him do the right things.
Especially when we don't have the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Cash, when he delivers Cash, it's a bit like spin the wheel, isn't it? Where it'll end up.
Big time. Big time. And you'd almost sacrifice a little bit of Cash's energy, because Young's still very fit, to get a much more steady Eddie type player, which probably suits Konsa and Mings. And obviously, Dina's sort of a little bit more of a senior player, but has his moments. I think Ashley Young's a lot more steady. And also, I think you need that, you say, vocal with the team. I actually think he's probably the only player who's constantly in the ref's ear.
Yeah.
You know, there was the high foot, wasn't there, on McGinn earlier in the game, which was somehow decided it was their free kick. When you see pictures of it, and like typical. McGinn's jumping and someone's already kicked his head off, but no, it's a low head apparently.
McGinn, what are you trying to do? You're trying to break that guy's ankle with your head.
Yeah, it's
That's how the ref read it.
Yeah,
blatantly trying to break his ankle with his head.
Yeah.
If you have been down Villa Park in person, you will know there's two new Villa Park traditions that are fastly forming. The first is the Emi Buendia song on about the 61 minute mark, 60 to 62 minute mark.
55 if things are going badly.
if he hadn't stood up to get warmed up, yeah, that's your about then.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much the hour mark, and that's the first thing you hear from the Holt when it gets to the half hour mark. That means I think it's rain or shine. That's who they call for. And the other thing is, around the 82, 85th minute, Martinez always gets injured.
Goes up. Catches it, lands on his back.
It's a coincidence. It's a pure coincidence.
He's going to do the platoon soon, isn't he? He's going to go down both knees and throw the arms up in the air, just like, oh.
But I mean, I bet he's overjoyed to have a you know, a clean sheet, because actually, it's probably one of the quietest nights he's had in months down there.
He could have been in a hammock, couldn't he, between the two posts?
There was, I must admit, in the last five minutes, I was thinking the thought of, they could get a draw here, and it would be what you would surmise from that would be, we are cursed. This is going to be a bad season, because we were pretty comfortable. They didn't deserve bugger all. And we did look likely to get a second.
I think I think they wanted to keep it tight, Nicky, because I think if they opened up at any point, I think that's when you get Coutinho, Buendia on the ball. And you've got runners off him, and I think we would have caused them problems. So I think they sort of knew. It's similar to West Ham, but I think if you give Villa space to play in, we can destroy you, as we saw against them last year and various other teams as well.
It was good to see, get a bit of Buendia and Coutinho time together.
Yeah. And defensively, I thought actually we did well, because really, you know where Southampton's strength is going to lie. It's don't give stupid free kicks away in and around the penalty area, and let Ward-Prowse deliver it into good areas, which obviously he can and did a couple of times, but generally that was their only likely source of danger.
We basically kept them away from our 18-yard box, in terms of we didn't give away anything kind of cheap until just the end, where we, got a little bit deeper, maybe panicked a little bit.
Yeah, and then you've man of the match, Coutinho. I mean, it should have been, everybody would probably agree it should have been Mings got man of the match, but Coutinho got the broadcaster's award as man of the match. I thought he had a decent game. I mean, he didn't get a direct involvement, but it was his cross that led to the goal.
Yeah, I thought it was good, especially in the first half. I thought he was busy. He had a great little spin.
But they were all over him. They were swarming all over him. They made life very difficult for him.
It was kind of like back to the days of watching Grealish up getting, double, double teamed, as it were.
But yeah, I would agree that Mings, I thought overall, was the best performer. I mean, I joked earlier on, and I actually meant it, that I don't know, I think I need a better prescription contact lenses. I only wear one. I'm a cyclops. But it was literally the first time I saw Ramsey on the pitch when he scored, and a few people said that. I noticed on Twitter as well, so I wasn't going crazy. But we haven't spoken about the goal, actually.
Short corner, Coutinho, decent ball in. Watkins, again, it was a good header. He got his head on it, and the keeper maybe should have put it over the bar. It comes back off the bar, and then Ramsey puts it away. But there was a telling touch from a Southampton defender, which ruled out any sort of hint of offside. Despite that, VAR decided to check it for 2 minutes.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. That came out of nowhere, that far. We were celebrated and had celebrated. We were
quite muted celebration, actually, for the goal.
Waiting for the game to continue, and then that came out of nowhere.
It was ridiculous. The Southampton, it came back off the bar, and the Southampton player heads it. So then, like, as we've experienced as well, that's a complete new phase of play. So there was no need for it at all. I don't know what angles we're looking at.
In hindsight now, the whole refusing 20, 23, 25 million for Douglas Luiz if Kamara is out for, let's say, a matter of months.
You're going to need him.
It's probably worth it because as we stand now, even now, the most likely involvement for Villa at this stage is a relegation battle. And if you said now, right, it's going to cost you 25 million to stay up, you would take that because you're going to lose a hell of a lot more money to go down. So, yes, as you say, we will probably need him now. I mean, we got Dendonka in, so there's another option. But we have depth now that if we get two injuries, we can actually cope, which is good news. But I wouldn't like to see that tested too much. I mean, it's not really fair as a supporter to have the main two players that you bought to improve the team taken away from you so bloody early in the season either.
Well, it's frustrating, you know, when you're looking for Gerrard to maybe get a little bit of luck, you know, a bit of rub of the green and stuff like that. And sometimes it's just against you, isn't it? But you've got to rise above it. You know, you've just got to play well and get the job done and not rely on it. But you'd hope for a bit of luck, I suppose. You know, you could argue when the ball rebounds off the bar and falls to Ramsey and goes in, then you've had a bit of a break of the ball.
Thoughts on the international break? Good timing. I think kind of irrelevant because we had that postponement, really, didn't we? So.
Yeah, it probably just buys us a bit of time with some injuries.
Yeah, that's the only upside, I would say. Because I think we need games now. We want to keep going.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if that postponement might have been good timing because despite Leicester getting thumped by Spurs, Leicester put in a really good performance for 70 minutes of that match. So
it's kind of similar to our game against them last year where Spurs were just so clinical. They got the big chances and they buried them. But Leicester did play some quite good football.
If we'd have played Leicester, there would have been so much riding in that match that you just don't know what way it would have went. But Southampton, just it didn't feel like as much of a, you know, like a pressure cooker. I mean, that it wasn't El Sacago.
Yeah.
No. It was actually quite a good atmosphere, to be fair, Villa Park. It was kind of, I think the game started dampened well, it didn't down. It? But yeah, it started pretty well.
People, I think, mainly because, you know, Friday night, late kickoff, it's, people are up for it, obviously, after a couple of jars. Mm-hmm. Carragher said on Sky, Gerrard obviously said it in his pre-match, but Carragher flagged a bit where he said Neil Critchley wants to move the ball forward quicker than Beale wanted. I thought it was interesting that Gerrard actually said that, but he said that's one thing perhaps why things, you know, haven't been going right. But then again, you know, Beale, the results were equally as poor at the end of last season than they were at the start of this season. So I don't know how much you can kind of read into that. I haven't noticed anything particularly about the speed of how they get forward. It's more being a bit more pragmatic in terms of not overcommitting. It's the main difference I've seen.
Certainly in the fullbacks.
Yeah.
And they're certainly not rifling it forward into Watkins quite so much. They're trying to play through phases and go into feet as opposed to going back to front, which is kind of obvious. But I think there's a time and a place for being sort of direct. We saw that against City where sometimes there's, if you've got Watkins against John Stones, the easiest way to get at him is put it in behind him and turn him around. So sometimes there are games when it'll work, especially when Watkins is such a willing runner. I just think hoofing it up to him and expecting it to stick every time is probably not the way to go. But his hold-up play generally is good into feet.
Yeah, and, you know, in Gerrard's credit, against City, you know, both times, he's not parked a bus man. He's always make sure that Villa has a threat and carry the threat, and they should with some of the players they have. So it's almost like they were, even though they're trying to contain City, they were also swinging for City at the same time. And as long as they keep doing that and, you know, they aren't too overly pragmatic, I think, you know, we ultimately should be all right because we've got the talent there. We've just got to make sure that they're serviced and we're not over cautious. I mean, we look at this Villa team and we're, you know, we're being critical as a lot of the fan base are, but you look at how respectful Everton were when they came. They didn't they were too scared to press. West Ham. Then you've got Southampton, like double, tripling up on players. So I think they look at our team sheet and they go, this is a good team. I think that's what managers have been doing.
Yeah. Teams probably don't want to be the team that, you know, they don't want to be that side that, oh shit, we were the team that got it the day Villa clicked. People look at it and go, on paper, it will. I don't think we're that close to it, but...
No, I don't. I mean, we've spoken about this before.
Teams probably give us too much respect.
We've spoken about it before where you think, I think, you know, this team's going to batter somebody, but we're not... I don't get the feeling we're going to run away 4-5-0.
We were last year at times, but I don't think we are at this point.
This is a team almost like learning how to apply it, what they've been told, as opposed to a team that's playing on any kind of instinct.
Yeah, they're having to go back. It's not so much go back to basics, getting the foundations right, because what Jared said, you'll see the fancy stuff come in later on when Villa hopefully move up the table.
Yeah, right. We will do more shows in this international break and extra shows as well. Just let's just finish on one useful stat, or one poignant stat, should I say. Phil, have you got anything?
Yes, this was one that came up on the TV broadcast. Villa were the first team that Queen Elizabeth II presented the FA Cup to in 1957, and by coincidence, Southampton were the last team she presented it to in 1976 before she handed it over to the other royals to do.
Wow, that is symmetry personified, isn't it?
It's funny how these things work out.
It is. It's all preordained.
Unfortunately, we haven't won it since, mind.
Well, that's because she hasn't been around to present us with it. As I told you, I think there's something for the weekend. We're one monarch away from having a villain
world
as
domination.
King and regular Villa King presenting trophies at Wembley to Villa captains. So we just got to hang in there for old Charlie. And then that's our transitional dynasty, or whatever they call these.
It's going to be all about
reigns.
Heroes and villains.
And as long as William does his parenting right, then that should be a lineage forever then.
Yeah,
you're not allowed to split anybody else.
Yeah, generation. We're talking not decades, centuries of domination of football. So just enjoy the ride until we get to the bit where it gets boring, where we just start winning all the time.
And we become like Man City, like, God, Real Madrid on a Wednesday night. Boring.
No. It will be, how many are we going to beat Real Madrid by? That would be the exciting thing. Right, please do follow us on social media at My Old Man Said, whether it be Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter as well, if you live in the Twitterverse. Personally, I hang around in Match Club myself, but, you know, that's...
You're such a private members club kind of guy.
Because I've got good taste. I just like to stay away from the psychos. Know what I mean?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Until we meet again in this international break, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.